The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Hey friends, we'd like to invite you to go check out a really cool project titled Nihilus. It's directed by Logan Solana and produced by Chance McDuffie. The talented folks at Clubhouse Films are putting together a Star Wars fan film called Nihilus. They shot their teaser trailer at the OHD Studios in Columbus, Ohio. These filmmakers have poured so much of their effort into this project, and we'd love for you to see it. Be sure to follow their social media account at Nihilus Film. That's N-I-H-I-L-U-S Film. You can also check out their other projects at Clubhouse Films Official. All links can be found down in the description. Thanks for your support, and may the Force be with you. Hey Star Wars fans, welcome back to Star Wars Hangout. I'm Ez.
And I'm Lottie.
And we are back with Andor Season 1, Episode 10, One Way Out. There is but one way out of this facility, and we got to see how they get out of this facility, which was just kind of wild. So, friends, this is kind of a quick episode. We wanted to get a quick reaction in here. We've been super busy over at Home One. It's been wild. Your Home One Hangout is that it's crazy. Complete craziness. We've had special guests over on Shell Cottage Radio 2 in the past couple of different days, and so it's been wild. Last episode, we got you guys caught up on the Acolyte news and the High Republic stuff. By the way, we got a lot of transmissions and messages from folks who are, one, super pumped about the Rebel rewatch. I have three messages about that. I have two messages about the High Republic. So thank you to you guys who wrote in and also said something about that. And in a later episode, when we have more time, we will discuss those things because they were super excited that we might be going back through phase one and listening to a couple of the books. Even if we're falling asleep to them, I can kind of fill you in on some of the details there. But it was fun, and I need to go back and refresh myself on the High Republic stuff. So
I'm so excited. We had Magic by Michaela on our Shell Cod Radio episode, which is going to air in about two weeks. So maybe as you're listening to it, maybe you know her because she also does really awesome Star Wars content. So she does Harry Potter, Star Wars, and a few other fandoms. Hilarious sketches on TikTok and Instagram and probably other platforms. And we had her on as an interview guest, which was delightful. And her reaction when we told her that we're doing a rewatch of Rebels.
Yeah.
She was like, oh my goodness, I wish I could experience it for the first time again.
Yeah, she was so excited by that. And I was like, right? And we went and looked, and not a lot of people have done one. I think people still talk about Rebels, but to re-experience it and have somebody go back through it is fascinating. So those episodes you're hearing that throughout the week. They're dropping almost every day as we sort of get you guys caught up on what happened over the summer, where we did a season one Rebels rewatch. And then I think we're picking up this Saturday or next Monday. I feel like we're going to be starting to dive back into our season.
I'm excited.
Yeah, season two. So that will be awesome. I think we've got episode one and episode two of season two recorded. Right. So that's out there, and we'll pick up with three and four. So just be looking for that. It's a lot of fun. And again, if you haven't seen Rebels, it's a great chance for you to kind of go watch that series with us. And if you have seen it, you want to kind of go back through it, they're about 20 to 30 minutes, sometimes, 40, it could be about 45 minutes, but they're jam packed with just like me kind of making connections to things that happen around the Star Wars universe, talking about where it sort of compares in the timeline a little bit and helping Lottie understand that just a bit. And then really just getting your genuine reaction to, you know, things that happen there and how powerful that little series is, actually. So you had me watch, I think it was Avatar, right? And you were talking with Michaela.
Last Airbender.
Yes. Sorry. Yeah, we got to distinguish which Avatar we're talking about. but it was Uncle Iroh and that, and the emotions, and Zuko, and everything that happened in that. I was like, this is an amazing, amazing series. And we talked about it with Michaela. And so Rebels has that same sort of feel, that same sort of power in storytelling.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, which I am very, very excited for you to experience.
And I have not read or seen any spoilers, so I have no idea what's happening in the next couple of seasons.
Right, exactly, which is fantastic. So we'll get there. But anyways, yeah, there's a quick little update there in terms of what's happening here and why we're running around frantically here at Home One Hangout. It's been wild, but it's been awesome. So wanted to get some thoughts, just our raw reaction again on episode 10, because most of, I'd say like 70, 80, 90% of this episode is all about them getting out, right?
Yeah,
it's the big breakout. It's the big escape. And we saw Cassian sort of like filing in on, like, they had a plan. They had been thinking about it, the floor, what's happening. It's revealed last episode that essentially they're not letting anybody out. No one is free. You're going to be transferred. They've doubled the sentence, the penalty. Something very interesting I found. I love, this is why I love consuming other Star Wars podcasts, other Star Wars YouTube channels, and Star Wars content creators, because they help you pull out things like little Easter eggs and little connections that you go, whoa. And you like appreciate the storytelling and what's happening. So Cassian, when he is on Aldani, he says, like, because he's not worried about anything, he's not really fighting for this cause, he's not super invested other than just for money and just a big getaway. He's not really there yet, right?
Yeah.
He sleeps like a rock. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. But he has now, as he's more and more invested in maybe the rebellion or starting to kind of hate them or trying to figure out a way out of this prison, he can't sleep.
Yeah.
The night before all this happens, like, there's no, he's not sleeping because he's so invested, right? Even if it's more on a primal level and just survival or whatever, it's like this is us versus them.
Yeah.
And he really, there's no other option. He can't just step away. He can't, like, Aldani, he could have just gave him up. He could have walked away. He could have done a lot of different things. But here he's locked in, and it's just that one little decision in terms of how well he slept the night before the big thing is a big deal. Can't sleep versus slept like a rock. And I thought it was kind of cool. And it was, I think it was Star Wars Explained, Alex, who pointed that out. And I was like, this is cool. This is the kind of stuff I like to find on the internet after these episodes. So yeah, it was great. Just let me give me your initial overall impression. You don't have to break down the whole episode or anything, but just how did you feel about this episode compared to other episodes? What were you thinking?
I think we both went in with a lot of expectations.
Yeah.
And it was still a good episode, but it's not my favorite.
Isn't it crazy? Because I told you, I had seen a few different friends posting on social media, and they were talking about how, like, it's just phenomenal. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, somebody shows up, I guarantee somebody helps, or, like, I was thinking, big characters show up in the series, and it's going to be wild. No. It's just a straight breakout.
Yeah.
And it's just this, it was really, really, really good, but sometimes when you go out and you read reviews or reactions or you listen to those non-spoiler reviews, you start to make up your own mind as to what the non-spoiler review is saying, and it's really not saying anything.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of it not being spoiler. And so you start to kind of fill in the blank, and I filled it in with the wrong thing, and so I was sort of like, wait, where's the big thing? And then I was like, oh, they just get out. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, that's great.
And then
great.
There's a big reveal at the end.
Oh, yeah, that was huge.
For the breakout part, for some reason, I just kept comparing it to the breakout scene. And I don't know if you've ever seen it, but Avatar Last Airbender, when Sokka gets his father and Suki and other prisoners, war prisoners, out of the big Fire Nation war. I love that because first time they try, they fail. And there's lots of little things, like a bigger plan. And with this, with Andor's breakout, we were just let in into the plan. Like, we as a viewer, as a audience, we didn't see any secret communication other than a couple of looks. Last episode, he already started scratching or trying to cut that water supply.
Yeah, the water supply. Yeah. The pipe or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I don't know, I was missing, I guess the emphasis is not so much on the outbreak itself. It's more like the treatment he didn't deserve at all. I mean, they didn't know he was the one on Aldani who one of the rebels there. But they basically arrested him for nothing, and then they would have kept him there forever for nothing. And that unfair treatment is just so important to his character arc and where he ends up later that I guess they didn't want to focus too much on the outbreak. So I expected a little more, like a cooler plan that would blow me away. That instead it was just okay, get their weapon. I mean, the cool thing was, I guess
there's more of us, and
yeah, we're more. And I'm always amazed by those people if they're, you know, if you think about what if that had happened in real life, the people who are the first ones in line who have to, you know, be at the front, the first ones who try and climb up.
Yeah.
They're very likely to get killed.
Right. You know? Yep. Yeah, they definitely had to be really committed.
But someone has to start, yeah.
Well, and that's what they kind of said. They're like, when Lino, is that how you say his name? The leader, I forget his name. But
Kino. I can remember his name because Kino is the German word for cinema or theater, like...
Oh, really?
Movie theater, yeah.
Kino Loy, that's what I was... Kino Loy, there you go. Anyway, he kind of says he's really set in his own mind and spirit and whatever that he's a dead man.
Yeah,
he's already says it. Like, look, we're all dead because you guys are gonna do this. Like, once one person starts to, if one or two or five people don't stay on program and they sense that there's a disturbance and other people are being quiet, boom, all gone.
Yeah,
no risk. No, you guys are not worth it. Not one of you. We're not gonna sit here and say, oh, let's spare these 25 who. Nope, doesn't matter. So it's too secret, which makes me think too that what they're working on here is massive. Like, these are Death Star parts, or this is something. I saw something funny. It was another podcast, I think, that they said there are different levels, right? And so as they worked on the one thing and they assembled the whatever it was, has like five, it's like a Pentagon looking thing. That once they sent it down to the next level, their job was to deassemble it. I was
like, okay, that's kind of funny.
I was like, oh, so they're just assembling into something. That was kind of silly, but
no, they don't even have to send it down because they have a day and night shift. They just leave it there, and the night shift.
Yeah,
just
night shift. That's right. They just deassemble it and then, you know, do it again. But anyways, so interesting that Kino is he kind of realizes you guys are going to do this, and Cassian was there for the conversation with the medic, and so they know that this is, it's over. They're killing us. We've now found out, as this spreads to other levels, we're donezo. So they already had sort of a plan with the device that lowers them. I don't even know, the elevator. And so they were going to jump on that. Water would short out the system. Yeah. Essentially, they felt like water would kind of cause it to spark and short out, and they were right. Mm-hmm. And so then they're able just to kind of get a couple weapons. And you get past, and the other thing is that there was a shortage of guards. They kind of kept talking about that. When Cassian first comes in, you can see that there's not as many, some people are dealing with other things on different levels.
Yeah.
And they're waiting on that one guy and he's not there. And you're sort of like, okay, they're a little short staffed actually.
Mm-hmm.
And they're meant to, there are a few of them. They have such a cool, I can't believe I said that. They have such a terrible device in terms
Maybe
of
you
how
want
they
to
control.
Say cruel.
I did. Thank you. That's exactly what I was trying to say. They don't need a lot of them to enforce their will or whatever on their prisoners. They didn't need a whole lot. And once these guys get past that first wave, you know, it's like, who's going to make the, like you said, the first move to sort of sacrifice themselves and, you know, take the first, like climb the ladder first.
Yeah.
There's more of them. And it was just wild because it's all or nothing. Just go out with a fight. And it's just a wild... Mm-hmm. I kept thinking something was going to happen. Kino, when he finally gets the comm and he gives that speech, I was like, oh my goodness.
What was your explanation why he blacked out for a second or was not sure what to say and had a moment?
Well, I think he's been on program the whole time. He's been on program. He's the guy that keeps people on program. So for him, this is very against his programming. He was so looking forward to getting out. He thought he only had a couple, like 100-some days.
Yeah.
And when you're serving a 2,000-day sentence, you're sort of like, I'm at the end here.
Yeah.
And so he gets there, and it's just a lot of intensity, pressure. You have to be convincing. You have to, it's what he says matters, and then how we have control. They've deactivated everything.
Yeah.
Things have been shut down. The hydraulics have been shut down. Getting that all across to the rest of the facility is a big deal, and knowing that they're in control. And so, yeah, he just has sort of a moment, I think. And it's just, it really for us is tension building moment too for this dramatic irony that's building, where we're kind of like, oh my gosh, we know what this guy knows, the rest of the facility is about to know about it, and so you have a moment of pause. But it was it was great.
Do you think Kino didn't make it, because they never show it to us? But
yeah, so the guy, by the way, so Tony Gilroy, who is the creator of this, said that they interviewed him and he said, you didn't see him die.
Yeah.
You didn't see, you didn't see anything. Let me see if there's an exact quote.
Well, what if he stayed there and just, well, I wonder how fast they get help. Like, how fast do the other facilities realize what's been happening on that, on Narkina 5? Because I'm wondering, of the other, you know, when the first time we see that planet or that area, that ocean, we see like a lot of them that are probably Narkina 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And how long does it take them to realize what happened on Narkina 5 or other? Now, will it ever go to will other prisoners on the other islands, will they hear about it and try to break out? Or
yeah, for sure. I think so. And what people are trying to put together is the way this director and his writers, because Haynes and Gilroy both are in here, kind of quoted as saying that, hey, you didn't see him killed on screen. And just because he said he couldn't swim doesn't mean that he didn't get somebody else to drag him across.
Right,
that,
I'm trying to think.
Pushing on top of other bodies, or just doggy paddling or something, you know, somewhere. So what they've done too is we've lost track of, so we had Vel and then Senta. And Senta we've sort of lost track of for a second. But these characters come back. They resurface back up throughout the series. So he likes to like bring a character in, show you them, feature them. All right, now put them away back here for a while and let's bring them back later. And they think that might be what happens, because he's such a powerful character and he's, you know, Andy Serkis is such a great actor. It was just really cool to have him in this role.
Sometimes if you really watch him, you start to recognize some facial expressions of Gollum.
Oh,
it's so
cool. You definitely do. which is kind of cool. We can't help but to chuckle a little bit. So I think he's alive. I think he's alive, and I think he makes it. They all jump, and you see Cassian and Melshi. Melshi is the guy who Kino is upset with, because Melshi is the one he always punches a lot, and he grabs, and he's sort of like trying to get him to stop, because that's the one speaking a lot of... He's very much into the rebellion. He very much is like, don't... He's very much trying to inspire hope and motivate his team to stay focused on this idea of we're getting out. Melshi actually is in Rogue One. He is, he's one of the members who goes, who goes on the whole mission to, you know, get
that's
the codes.
That's awesome.
And stuff.
Is it the same actor?
Yeah, same actor, I believe. Yes, I think so. So they definitely get to safety, but which was awesome. Now, another big thing we want to talk about in this episode. We'll go kind of in order. First, it was Mon Mothma speaking with this banker, and they're talking about Chandrilan customs and stuff, and sort of, you know, like how they're betrothed and how it's more for political or old family alliances and stuff like that. And she's and he's sort of alluding to some of the, you know, the arrangement that she has with Perrin. And the only thing he wants in payment, or the only favor that he wants, is for him to be allowed to bring his son to meet her daughter.
Yeah.
And she's like, no way.
Yeah.
No way.
But then when he leaves, he says, I know you're actually thinking about it.
Yeah. Because she's like, I would never even consider it. And he was like, wow, that's the first lie you've told.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. So, he is... The things you do, the sacrifices or whatever. And I think so far we've looked at Mon and been like, man, you know, what Luthen says at the end and his sacrifices and what has he sacrificed. Like Mon here is struggling with this, which is super personal, super, you know, close to home. I mean, it's her daughter.
Yeah.
And Vel was just there giving her, I mean, she's already kind of against her mom, and in a lot of ways it feels like Perrin has turned her against her mother or whatever. Maybe she just doesn't like her because they're on Coruscant and caught up in all this political stuff, and who knows. But it definitely feels like this is going to be another big divide, and if she senses at all that her mother is going to make her and force her meet someone else who she might be betrothed to, or like this arranged marriage might happen, and then she looks back at her family and says, look at you and dad, this is crazy, you want to put me through that for what? And then, I mean, what, you can't tell her.
Yeah, you can't even.
you can't explain that it's just sort of a meeting and I don't really mean for you to go through with this and I intend not to. Because the other thing is then if that marriage doesn't go forward and there's just a air quote meeting, then he can expose Mon at any point. He now has something on her if her daughter doesn't comply. True. Then he can sort of say, well, if she's not going to be, you know, a part of this arrangement, then guess what? This is not, then I can expose you. Awful place
Mon
to be in.
Mon is really, in a really bad place right now.
She needs someone else to come bail her out, as in like,
as humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed, when I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bail Organa. You know what I'm saying? I think it's time for him to show up and get in there and make, because I keep waiting for him to show up. I feel like he's going to.
Oh, you were expecting him to show up this episode.
Something. Just somebody else who is in the rebellion and whatever. The biggest thing that happened in this episode, though, so it was a crazy escape scene. Crazy that we had that conversation with Mon, which was just a moment. And then you have Lonnie. Yeah. You have Lonnie, the ISB agent, who shows up talking about Dedra Miro. She's located someone called Axis. He's trying to warn him. And Anton Krieger's group has been exposed. There's a link between what's going on with him and Andor and Aldani, and that they're tracing you back. So this ISB agent is like coming forward and telling him all this stuff. As he's ascending, as he's going up the elevator, right? We find out that Lonnie has a daughter. He committed to this and made a vow years ago, didn't have a daughter at the time, and he truly is a rebel. I mean, I don't want people to get mixed up here. He has infiltrated them. Mm-hmm. He is a double agent who either they turned as when he was a part of the Imperial Academy or whatever, or, you know, maybe, I'm not exactly sure. We don't know his whole backstory here, but he definitely has made the same vow that Luthen and that Mon and others are talking about, this vow that they made.
Yeah.
Unbreakable vow, maybe? You know, and they say in Harry Potter, you can't break unbreakable vow. Yeah. Okay, just revolt. I mean, that you know.
Can't get out.
And you can't. Yeah. So he definitely feels like he can't, and he wants to though, right? Yeah. He wants out.
He doesn't want to do this anymore because he wants his family to be safe, and he knows everything that he does. He can't. I mean, everyone who has been in a situation where you feel like you have to lie to someone for a long time, even though you don't want to, but this is just. You do it because you think it's best, and you keep doing it. You feel trapped. You feel like you're not truly, like, you know, being yourself for a long time. And that's for him, his everyday life. That's just not with one person.
Yeah.
But with all the people that are around him, I don't even think his wife probably doesn't know, or his kid doesn't know.
No, they could be very anything. Proud of him for, yeah. you know, their yeah. belief in who he is. That's another crazy thing. When your yeah. family doesn't know the work that you're doing, that might be a part of it as well, which is like they believe in you and you yeah. are a part of this thing, but you're not really that thing that they're proud of. That yeah. would be such a way.
Same with mom.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So like it's such a, yeah, actually it's the opposite with mom, right? Like it's okay. almost like maybe her daughter and maybe even Perrin are kind of like, what are you doing? You're mm-hmm. such a sucker for the Empire and the things that you do or whatever. Maybe they if they knew about the mm-hmm. rebellion, they might be super into it. But versus you feel like this guy's rising to the ranks of the ISB. Now, it could also be that maybe his wife and you know, like decides maybe she's not as fond of him mm-hmm. being in the ISB. We don't know any yeah. of that. So it's just the idea that there could be some conflict there. But he comes up saying, I'm warning you about Ferrix. I'm honoring my vow. I'm giving you Dedra. Yeah. I'm basically saying Dedra is on to you, and here's what's yeah. up. I'm warning you about Anton, and by this, I'm honoring my vow, and I want out of this. And he's been working for 6 years. 6 years. So, yeah. Yeah.
Can I draw a parallel to a movie series that we just watched again?
Absolutely.
Yep. We watched the first three movies of Hunger Games again.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And there's so many parallels between Star Wars and Hunger Games, obviously. And this is the same theme of we have a regime that is terrible to its people and only favors, you know, the capital or people who are in the inner circle and the rest just working for them. And they're oppressing people, basically. Mm-hmm. And to break that system, there has to be, you know, a rebellion. There has to be people that will sacrifice their own lives for a better tomorrow. And mm-hmm. this is exactly what Luthen talks about is, you know, he gets so mad when Lonnie asks him what he's sacrificing. And he's like, yeah. I mean, in short, everything. Because right. I will never live to experience, see yeah. the fruits of my work.
Right.
I will never live as a free man ever again. I gave up my whole life, my entire identity, just like you, just like everyone else. And it's so cool because the title of this episode is not only for the prison outbreak, One Way Out, but for the whole rebellion is there's only one way out. We have to fight them head on in terms of we have to do something. That's yeah. the only way out. There is no other way out for Lonnie, for Luthen, for Mon, no one gets yeah. out other than fighting the system. And another point that he makes, they are forced to do things that are as terrible as the Empire themselves to
yeah.
to fight them.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is the whole theme of Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
the rebellion, we find out later, is they're not the
air
exactly
quote,
the good guys.
Yeah,
air
yeah,
quote. They,
yeah.
They have to do terrible things in order to...
Yeah. By the time a rebellion or this group finds their footing and the way they start and the way they have to... The ruthlessness that they have to... Maybe not have to, yeah. but that they're saying they have to, right? They're saying that they need to use...
Right.
Is so... once you start to parallel it and you look at how it fits and how it side by side, I guess mm-hmm. with what the Empire does, you're like, wow, they're just the same, except yeah. for their on the backside of that, they're saying we want to get to a place where what we're fighting against yeah. is not what we become, but we yeah. are going to use their tactics along the way,
right?
And it's sort of a dangerous mm-hmm. dangerous route to take,
balance act, yeah.
And so Luthen calls Lonnie a hero. He says, we need heroes.
Yeah.
What we don't need necessarily, like he is, I mean, Luthen sort of believes of himself that he's a mm-hmm. necessary evil to get this ball rolling.
Yeah.
But what he wants to set up are heroes like Lonnie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the crazy thing is he's trying to say, like, I'm not going to be the hero. You, Lonnie, are the yeah. hero. Your sacrifice every day, double yeah. life that you live, I think about you constantly. I do yeah. respect that. You can't get out of this. You are trapped. We need you and we've groomed you for this. And this is exactly what you are. Mm-hmm. are here for, and I can't let you go. Can't let you out on this.
Yeah.
And again, Luthen has to be kind of this ruthless leader who he has a way out. He says, my wife's business, her family has a business. He can go to that. He can do those things. And no, that's not good enough. Sorry. We're fighting yeah. for something more and something bigger. And you're right at the center of it.
So. Yeah. In the same way that the Empire does not value individual lives anymore, the same way is you know, it is with the rebellion, the individual doesn't count anymore as much because it's for the greater cause.
So, yeah, exactly. And so here's something that Luther says. I have it up in front of me, which is that when asked what he's sacrificing, he says kindness, kinship, love. He's sacrificing those things. And you're like, whoa, wait a second. I thought he was a... But he says he's giving up all chance at inner peace. Mm-hmm. He is giving those things up. Like, he is fully committed to this cause in a way that almost no one else is. We often think of Saul Guerrero. I told you this. When you learn more about Saul, who he met, you met last episode, who he went to and he said, hey, you should hook up with Anton Krieger and go do this whole mission. And Saul's like, nah, sorry. But he was like, remember, Saul, like, we're all fighting the same fight. And Saul is seen, even by Mon Mothma later, Saul is seen as crazy. Yeah. Like, actually, you'll find out later on, Saul is in Rebels. I'm not going to spoil a little bit. So he's there, okay? But and it's really interesting how they characterize Saul. And Saul is sort of a radical. He is, the tactics he uses are essentially, it's seemingly the way that Luthen is describing himself and what he's been willing to do to put this organization together. He's willing to go even further than Saul is the way it feels to me. So he says, I've made my mind a sunless space. A sunless space.
Yeah.
It's just like, what? I share my dreams with ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wake up every day to an equation I wrote 15 years ago. So what is his backstory? Who is he? Who are these ghosts that he's talking about? Like, was his love taken from him? Was he, who knows? So, that or a connection to the Jedi or what was it that he believed in? So he says, for which there's only one conclusion. I'm damned for what I do.
Yeah.
So he is just like full committed, no going back. My anger, my ego, my unwillingness to yield. I mean, his eagerness to fight. They set me on a path from which there is no escape. I yearned to be a savior against injustice without contemplating the cost. And by the time I looked down, there was no longer any ground beneath my feet. What is my sacrifice? Oh my gosh. He said, I'm condemned to use the tools of my enemy to defeat them. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, totally different vibe versus when we meet him for the first time.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Exactly. And even who he plays in that shop, I mean, he's doing the same thing. He's meeting with these people trying to coordinate this whole thing. He has so many hats that he wears, but he really shows, and I think he uses this well, to show Lonnie how I think he reveals a lot of truth.
Yeah.
Because truth is the thing that's really, it's persuasive.
Yeah.
Very persuasive. And that's what Lonnie needed, was to be persuaded, like, oh, this guy is locked in. The guy I'm talking to and working for, he's got a plan. He's more committed than anybody I've ever seen. And that sort of inspires maybe, even if it's frightening, Lonnie in some way to say, okay, this is, all right, double down, gotta commit. Who knows? We'll see what Lonnie does. But he says, I burn my decency for someone else's future. So he's burning up his own decency for someone else's future. That's where he says that epic line, which is, I burn my life to make a sunrise that I know I'll never see.
Yeah.
Luthen, who are you? Who is Luthen? He's a madman.
So wait. You're saying you have never seen him, right? Never heard of him. He's not in the movie that Cassian is in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we have no idea. And actually, he says that very thing right here. So his next line is that no one will know who he is. That he that an audience or a light of gratitude will ever be given in his direction. That's the thing. He's not.
I wonder though, do you think we will find out that he's known as under another name, maybe later? That you find out he's someone that you've heard of, but maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Could be.
A different name.
Could be. But I think what to drive home the line though, that he says at the end, what does he sacrifice? He sacrifices everything.
Yeah.
It's because no one will hear about this. He's the unnamed hero. We actually get, as the audience, to see this and we go, whoa, he's the guy who will set up heroes that no one will ever talk about. They'll never talk about him. He's just, he actually will burn himself up to the point where Mon might even have to sort of say, that's the kind of thing, like, she can't even openly say thank you to him anymore, even though secretly maybe she does thank him for what he does. But what he does is so... it's
good point.
Yeah. So it's crazy. You can't, they'll be handcuffed in terms of like, knowing he was responsible for the rebellion that they take over, but yet can't thank him for it because of the means by which he acquired the rebellion. I mean, that's just on another level. That's why this episode was deemed so crazy. It was really his speech at the end. And when you go back and you re-listen to it and you re-watch it, you're sort of like, wow. And you, the guy who's playing Lonnie is just locked in like, wow, okay, this is intense. Both of them are speaking intensely about it. So all around, an amazing episode. I was stoked. We have two episodes left. Two episodes left. So I'm trying to think. Let's go into Andor season one, episode 11, predictions. What do you think? Do you, things that, based on everything that we see here, what do you think we're going to see next episode? Do you think we're going to see any crossing of paths between, like, how do we get Cassian back in front of Luthen?
Wait, two episodes left?
Just two. Yeah, I think. Yep.
I highly, well, I was going to say, I doubt they can start another big thing. You know, we had, like, Aldani and then the breakout. It would be very cramped in if they tried another big arc over two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Cassian has to go back. Do you think he goes back right away to get his stuff?
Wait a second. Am I wrong? Is there? I thought there was 12 episodes. Let me just make sure. Yeah, yeah. Okay, okay, okay. I'm sorry. The creator confirmed that there will be the show will return for 12 episodes.
Okay.
Wait a second. I don't even know. Let me just check on here real quick.
Okay.
So, yeah, two episodes left. He spoke to Rolling Stones about the season so far, his plans for the second and final season, and a lot more. So, yeah, it looks like, okay, I just want to make sure because I'm seeing conflicting things here online as to the number of episodes. I've always been under the assumption that there was going to be 12 episodes. But, yeah, it says 10 episodes in. There were 10 episodes in so far, and then with two episodes left, he spoke to Rolling Stone about the season so far and his plans for the second season. So, yeah, I kind of feel like we're at least going to see Cassian. Somehow he has to come back and have a conversation with Luthen. And then their trajectory or where they're going next is going to be the big thing for season two. Like I think, I don't know if Luthen survived. Maybe he has to sacrifice himself or do something. And and you're looking to other people like Mon or Lonnie or, you know, Cassian to take up the rebellion.
Do you think he's going to go back to Ferrix?
I do. You and do. I think Marva is going to be waiting there. And I think that's going to be the whole thing. I think he's going to have some sort of conversation with Cassian. Like he set up a hero in Lonnie, whether he means it or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think he's looking to set up heroes of the rebellion.
Yeah.
And so Cassian will need to be one of those heroes. Right now, it seems like he wants him tracked, and it might take Vel and some other people, you know, convincing him that what Cassian has, the spirit that he has, is one that fits with the nature of the rebellion.
Especially now, after he went through all of this with the Empire. Yep.
So, I don't know. Somehow we have to get there. I think maybe, you know, Vel or Senta or whoever. Vel was supposed to be going back to Chandrila, but she probably went and did some tracking down. Or they heard about this breakout and you wonder, okay, is Cassian involved? I don't know. I feel like Cassian's still going to be good. No one knows he's there. So I don't know how they're going to connect him to that or how they would wonder if he's there. I think he's going to be reaching out to them.
Important question. Is there more seasons to come, or is this going to connect right to the, okay. So there's one more season
of 12 episodes
within the next, like how many, whenever years.
Yeah. Like in the next year or two.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then after that, it will be like the timeline.
That's
the timeline
it.
Will be,
it movie. Leads you right up to Rogue One.
Rogue One. Okay.
Yeah. And so we haven't really gotten an idea of like how many, you know, there could be a big time jump between season one and season two. We could see him fully immersed working with Mon Mothma, Bail Organa, and other people as an agent.
Yeah.
But we do know this kind of correlates with the Rebels timeline. So we're watching Rebels, right? So, yeah. We think it correlates there. So we
just shocked. Got an electric,
did Palpatine?
An electrocution
Palpatine just reach through the microphone and shock you? What the? Palpatine,
oh,
don't you dare.
Because I've been, like, my foot's been rubbing on the carpet, and now I touch the microphone. Yeah, my bad.
Force lightning happening on the podcast live. So anyways, all right, friends. Well, hey, that is it. Just want to do a quick episode here for you guys. Get our reactions, our thoughts in on this. We'll come back with the next episode. We'll break it all down. If you guys have, again, thoughts, transmissions, I do have some kind of queued up for next episode when we have more time to dive into those New Republic thoughts, thoughts on the Acolyte. And by the way, quick connection to the Acolyte, the lead for the lead character for the Acolyte, the star, that's Rue. That's Rue from Hunger Games.
Oh my gosh, full circle.
Full circle.
We just watched the first movie.
And so she's the lead in that.
Cool.
So it's wild. Anyway. All right, friends. Yeah, hey, again, thanks so much. Send those transmissions to StarWarsHangout77@gmail.com, and we will read them on the show. If you guys have thoughts for Lottie or questions for Lottie, by the way, that would be interesting as well as we dive into season two of the Rebels rewatch. Thoughts, things that you want her to kind of consider, she would be glad to answer those.
I don't know how I can answer them, but...
No, I mean, just sort of like your thoughts as you go, because sometimes I feel like I don't ask you enough questions about
because I ask the questions.
Yeah, I know. Well, but I sometimes it's good to get your perspective mm-hmm. on does this make sense and do you have any questions about where things fit in
or
that kind of stuff or your thoughts on because some of us want to experience Star Wars again through you and through your eyes in Rebels or whatever and those connections. So it's nice to ask you those questions like how did you feel about this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thing. So yeah. Yeah, I know. Somebody sends her a question like, hey, Lottie, what happened in one of the Legends books back in the day between Luke Skywalker and the Yuuzhan Vong? Can you elaborate on that? That's not the kind of transmission we're talking about. So
I feel like I'm taking a quiz.
Like, oh, no. Anyway, yeah. So, but yeah, but anyways.
Is there going to be a quiz?
No.
Okay.
I'm not quizzing. Yeah, I'll just keep filling you in as we go. It's sort of a rolling experience, you know. So, all right, friends, again, thank you so much. We appreciate you. And as always, may the Force be with you. Hey friends, thanks for listening to this week's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, leave us that review, check out our extra episodes on Patreon and Apple Premium. This is the way.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. Having fun in the sun or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.